Is your relationship itself toxic, or are you and your partner just relating to each other in a toxic way?
Uh-huh.
It can be hard to tell the difference, I think. And it's quite easy to just mislabel an entire relationship or person as bad or toxic.
So what makes a relationship quote unquote toxic? And if you discover that you're behaving in a toxic way in your relationship, how can you work on that? In this first part of our series on unraveling unhealthy relational patterns, we're going to talk about why it can be unhelpful to label a relationship as toxic and how to recognize common unhealthy relational patterns. We're also going to talk about building healthy communication skills in a relationship.
This is a really important skill for us to learn, and it might be an unpopular opinion because it's so much easier sometimes to just label another person in the relationship and walk out the door.
Yeah.
And a little bit harder to look at ourselves and do the work.
Right. So Leia, we've both been with our partners for many years, and so we both know that you can't be in a long-term relationship with this zero-sum mindset that, like, as soon as something negative happens, that's the end. Mm-hmm. The ability to cultivate patience, compassion, and trust in a relationship is overlooked a lot. And these skills are really needed. Even in the best of long-term relationships, there are things that we need to continue to come back to and cultivate.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important to make the distinction that, of course, there's a spectrum here.
Yeah.
And only you really know your true situation. If you are, in fact, in an abusive relationship, then it's important to know the distinction between, okay, I'm truly in a harmful, abusive relationship, then that's not kind of what we're talking about here.
Not at all. Yeah.
I can say that in those situations, you really got to grab the support and courage to make a way to leave.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about two people who are honestly willing to want to make it work and who are doing the best that they can, but willing to look at your own behavior and take responsibility for yourself and work on things, then there's a lot of possibility here.
I mean, so much of it is that, like, taking a deeper look at yourself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually research on how to make significant shifts in the way that we relate to one another and in healing toxic ways of relating. So I love that we're making this distinction that it's not that your relationship is toxic, but you just might be relating in an unhealthy way.
Mm.
Scientists have confirmed that patterns can be interrupted with just one new choice.
Yeah.
By shifting one element of the pattern has to change.
Just that one thing makes such a big difference.
Yep.
So I taped a conversation that I had with my teachers, Lauren and Camille. They're meditation experts and a married couple for 40 years now. And here's two small things that they shared with me to relate with each other in positive, healthy ways.
So how do I stay very much in touch with myself and at the same time marvel at this other expression of life, of brilliance, of love in his particular ways? And every day, honestly, this is a beautiful practice that I love to do, and that is just simply looking at Lauren as if seeing him for the first time. It's like, wow, look who you are. Look, who are you?
Mm.
We let it be new every day, which is scary and exciting.
That is a little reminder to wake up to the wonder and the preciousness of this moment of breathing, which at our point in life, you know, we don't take for granted.
So I think that is so skillful and beautiful. When you are with your partner for so long, it is a practice to cultivate that sense of newness and wonder. And it might feel awkward at first, but I think just listening to them talk about it, you can tell how meaningful it is for them.
Super helpful tool. And here's their next one.
We developed this, or Camille really developed it. We'd be, say, writing books and running around doing our thing all day. And then we're going to go to a party. And one or the other of us on the way to the party would fall into a mood. Camille would get sad, or I would get sad, or some weird unnameable thing that's like sad or grumpy, and not knowing why. And so Camille invented this exercise. We just go, I'm sad. And the other person just goes, you're sad.
Yeah, just repeating it.
And that's it. And that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And the important thing is the witnessing, and you say it. And there's no comment.
Yeah, no, like, analyzing. Thank you
no
very
analyzing,
much.
No comment. Mm. It pops something. Because we need things that we could do in a couple of seconds on the fly that pop the mood.
This is something that I actually do with my toddler. When he's having an emotion or mood, I label it for him so he can understand. And I think that is one of the foundational skills that we can build is emotional intelligence. One of the biggest tools I've learned over the years of receiving coaching is to identify my own moods. And there is something really powerful. The moment that you label it, you're like, it doesn't have the control over you that it had anymore. It's like you become the witness and observer of it, and then you can take responsibility in that moment. And I can also see how nice it would be to be seen by another person. No judgment, no, oh, we got to figure this out, no defensiveness, just I see you.
Yeah, in mindfulness, we have this saying, you know, you name it to tame it. Mm-hmm. It's like our emotions, a lot of times just want to be acknowledged. They don't need to be analyzed. They don't need to be fixed. They just want to be acknowledged. This is something that really can help build emotional intelligence. And because we've got these brains that are still able to grow and to change and to evolve, our emotional intelligence can build over time. So going back to the idea that like a relationship doesn't have to be zero sum, it doesn't have to be this yes or no, perfect or bust sort of thing, but it's something that can grow and change and evolve.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize when we've fallen into bad habits and or we've fallen into sabotaging patterns and be able to see possibility in our way to work our way out of them together.
Totally agree. I totally agree. And yeah, this was a great conversation. I'm glad that we're going to be talking more about this. I want to reemphasize, as you did earlier, Leah, that for you listening, if you are in a truly harmful relationship, psychologically, emotionally, physically, or all of the above, or a relationship where no one's taking any efforts to change that, we encourage you to find a supportive person in your life and to build the courage to make a way to get out of that situation. If your relationship is strained, however, because of things like challenging communication or misunderstanding each other or resentment or defensiveness, these are things that we can work through if you have the desire in your heart to make the relationship last. So you can try Camille and Lauren's exercise. Next time your partner tells you how they feel, just say, "You feel this way," back to them, and then talk about how this makes both of you feel. It's something that I'm definitely going to try with my wife. And so I'll check back in with y'all on how it goes.
I love this talk. It was a good reminder for me today. And as always, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to be kind to yourself. Take care. Peace.